in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries.
And that's me.
Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be happy?
Hello, everybody in Radio Land. It is 6 p.m., and you're listening to KBOO Portland. And that means, since it is the fourth Wednesday of the month, it's time for The Underground, which is KBOO's youth-produced public affairs show.
Woo!
Woo! And I was thinking about telling a nice little story to start things off about how I'm been seeing people that I know at my work, but we don't have time for that because the show is just so jam-packed full of awesome stuff this month. So we're going to go straight into a piece by Ben Hyde about how he hopes he stays friends with his friends forever.
Friends in my life. I have known most of them since elementary school. When I don't spend time with them for long periods, I feel as if some part of me is missing. My energy directly feeds off their energy. If they are sad, then I am sad. If they are happy, I am happy. So as the end of the school year comes closer and closer, I think and feel and wonder whether or not our friendships will last. So far, it seems as though everyone wants to go different directions, whether it is a school, job, lifestyle, or location. One of my friends wants to go as far as to live in Scotland. In a way, I feel as though true friendships will stay no matter what happens. I just don't want to think of the friendships that won't last and won't stay. It's hard for me to think of all the years I've spent with my friends and to think of life without them. It's almost as if a brother or a mother or any sort of close family member all of a sudden disappears and you no longer see life through their eyes as well as yours. My New Year's resolution is to have as much fun and to gain as much of a strong relationship as I can now with my friends, in hopes that our relationship and friendship will stay strong and important as much as it is now.
For the KBOO Youth Collective, this has been Ben Hyde.
Kira Philman considered herself lucky to be such a good friends with her brother. Growing up, it seemed life like they were pretty much the
pretty much
the same wavelength. But when he gave up her unusual birthday gift, Kira wasn't exactly sure what would make it.
For my 20th birthday, my brother gave me my very first romance novel. But it isn't the kind you buy at the supermarket. The Wild Rose is a personalized romance novel, starring me and Gael Garcia Bernal. It is a beautiful and sacred thing to read the back cover of a book that is the only one in existence, like what I imagine Moses felt on the Temple Mount.
In this Wild West adventure, Kiera Feldman is the savvy, stunning saloon owner who dares to give love one more chance. when Gael Garcia Bernal, that's me, rides into town to build a new railroad. His smile steals our heroine's heart, but his holster is loaded with a secret that could blast away her livelihood. Saddle up for love, passion, and humor. But mostly love. I added that part.
Since my birthday, I've been reading about my adventures on the Western Front with the star of hit foreign films like Bad Education and Y Tu Mamá También. The riveting plot unfolds as follows. Gail and I share a laugh and a meaningful glance. Gail walks in on me in my bloomers. I try to uncover Gail's big secret by dressing in drag. I stave off a raging bull. There's a night of passion followed by natural disaster. The community comes together in the face of tragedy. Gail proves his love by leading the reconstruction effort. And then, naturally, he proposes. Really, it's not terribly unlike my real life. In reading The Wild Rose, I have one main concern. Just how personalized is this romance novel? The idea of my brother sitting at his computer thinking, all right, so I see Kira making out with Gail in this scene, and I want her wearing, something see-through. Yes, a nightgown, that's it. Is more than a little upsetting. For example, take this next scene, which is narrated by my friend Fritz, because I want to ensure that no one is aroused by writing my brother had some kind of hand in producing.
Slowly, Gael and Kira drifted closer until finally his mouth fell upon hers. She wrapped her arms tightly around his cuddly body as their lips mingled and danced. Their hearts raced as they savored the beauty of the moment. She felt his warm lips against her soft skin, gently nibbling at her earlobe before moving elsewhere along her slim body. Slim? Who wrote this?
I wish we could stay like this forever. Para siempre. That's not in the book, but it is Spanish for forever.
She kissed him with even more intensity than before, as if to say, I also hope this night of passion stretches through the end of time. Also, I have crabs.
Scenes like this make me fear that my brother may, in fact, be a pervert. In search of evidence to the contrary, I go to the internet. This is only logical because The Wild Rose is supposedly penned by www.romancebyyou.com, which kind of tosses authorship out the window. God help the poor shelving librarian who has to figure that one out. To my relief, I find that my brother is only responsible for filling in details like name and hair color. This means that I can turn my energies to a more deserving cause, like analyzing the literary value of The Wild Rose.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along.
This proves more difficult than I expect, as I am about as familiar with the romance genre as I am with, say, 11th century Sanskrit poetry. How am I to evaluate the novel's use of language? What if I'm not even reading The Wild Rose with the right things in mind?
I am the ghost heard in the sky.
Luckily, my local library has a copy of Janice Bradway's book titled Reading the Romance. Woman, Patriarchy, and Popular Literature. Thanks to Radway, I learned that The Wild Rose hits a home run with its application of romance novel linguistic convention. Its prose is dominated by cliché, simple vocabulary, and standard syntax. Apparently, such a utilitarian approach to language is meant to minimize the reader's interpretive workload. This is not to say that The Wild Rose is purely low art. At many times, it strives for a literary flavor through elaborate similes and rhetorical flourishes that really add that special something. This next scene, for example.
Kira sat on a grassy clearing on a sloping hill that overlooked the valley. She long ago dubbed this spot Sunrise Hill. The view stretched for miles over rolling hills as she watched the twinkling stars reluctantly fade and give way to the approaching daylight. She stared, hypnotized by the golden sun climbing on the horizon, filling the sky with brilliant hues of yellow and orange.
It's beautiful moments like this that soothe my worries over not gleaning more content out of Radway's book. Yep, I just started reading the romance like a romance novel itself. I skimmed for the sex scenes and flipped ahead to see how things turned out. Its ending was pretty unremarkable, just like the one in The Wild Rose.
After the tornado, Kira and Gael work alongside the whole town to rebuild Main Street. With aching backs and blistered hands, they sat down to talk about their future.
Sure, Gael, you come back from your job now, but where were you when disaster struck? I have a life with roots and friends and a home. You're a railroad man. You have a life with tracks and wheels. That's not what I want.
It's not what I want either. I want to spend my life with you, here, if you'll have it.
Yes, of course. Hold up. Now, this might be how all romance novels conclude, but I want mine to be a bit more personalized. After telling my brother that I love his gift, I decide to write a more romantic ending.
With aching backs and blistered hands, they sat down to talk about their future.
Gael, I have a life with roots and family and a home. You're a railroad man. You have a life with tracks and wheels. That's what I want. Let's become railroad hobos, feeding each other beans out of a can, sleeping in crumpled newspaper, and going blind off hooch.
See, we'll hop trains and wear all of the clothing that we own.
We'll never get married because that way we can just find someone new if we get tired of combing each other for lice.
And eventually we'll lose our legs in a tragic train hopping accident, after which we'll belly crawl to a ditch where we will swat flies and rattle a tin cup of coins until the automobile is invented to run us over, putting us out of our misery.
The end. Thank God.
He never works at anything else. Tomorrow he'll be 40. An engineer is what he is. For him I'll go the limit. So try and beat me if you can. His engine never see me.
That was a piece by Kira Feldman, our long-distance contributor to the Youth Collective. And next up is a piece by Josh. It's an interview with a high schooler who's learned to make friends wherever he moves to.
This is Josh from KABU, and I'm interviewing a good friend of mine, Eli Pardue, who's currently living in Indianapolis. So, Eli, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I hate telling people about me.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 14. I like playing tennis. I go to high school. I'm in ninth grade.
Cool.
And I've moved about 50 million times.
So, where does this story of friendship start?
Well, I was born and raised, for the most part, in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, it's my hometown. It'll always be my hometown. I'm currently living in Indianapolis, Indiana. But I've had to move several times and, you know, make new friends.
So have you made a lot of friends here?
Here, yeah. I have tons of friends here. I'll always have tons of friends here.
Very cool. Where was the first place you moved?
The first place I moved, do you mean like...
Like from Portland.
From Portland. Away from Portland, I moved to Mount Hood, Brightwood, Oregon. It's about an hour away from Portland. It was a pretty significant move. I moved a long way away from all of my friends. But we still managed to keep in touch. And, you know, it was harder. Phone calls, mostly. Email, you know. But I made a lot of really good friends at the local school, Welch's. And it's not a grape juice, so shut up.
If I'm not mistaken, then you ended up moving back to Portland. What happened?
Well, yeah, that was actually sort of weird. One time I was still living up there, and the plan was to move back to Portland. So my mom wanted me to get reintroduced into the PPS school system. So I went to Winter Haven Middle School for the first half of sixth grade.
That's where I went.
Yeah, I was at his school for a while. I hated it. I did not like it. I was making friends, but the school was just not for me. So I went back to Welch's. We were still living on Mount Hood. We didn't move. But I stayed up there for the rest of sixth grade and half of seventh grade, and then we moved down to Portland. And that was rough. It was, I saw my friends again. I made a lot of new friends at Mount Tabor Middle School, and I roughly kept in touch with my friends in Welch's, Brightwood and Welch's.
So, how do you keep in touch with all the different friends you have?
Oh, God, it's rough. I actually recently found MySpace, and that's been... It's like a god, I love it. I can keep in touch with all of my friends at once.
I don't have it.
Yeah, Josh doesn't have it. Poor boy. But it's really easy. I don't know, I just like it. Like, I actually have it for friends. I know a lot of people, they have it because it's popular and everybody else has it.
They want to be really cool.
You know, not me. I actually have a whole lot of friends who I actually keep in touch with using MySpace. Because every single other friend I have has MySpace, so it's awesome.
Well, tell me about your most recent move, and you know how that really was for with friends and stuff.
Yeah, that was hard. It's my only major move, because compared to all the other moves, they're like minor. I moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, from Portland, Oregon, and it was really hard. I mean, I have to say it. I was depressed for about a month. Like, after the move, it was a hard thing to do, but I got better. What I ended up doing is just skipping eighth grade entirely and going right into high school, because I've switched schools so many times. I just said, screw it, you know, I don't want to adjust to two new schools in 2 years. So I took this test, I passed, and now I'm in high school and getting good grades, so it's awesome.
So have you made a lot of friends in Indianapolis?
Yeah, pretty much the whole ninth grade class, because my high school, it's a private school, and there's only 150 kids total in the entire school.
Wow, how many kids in ninth grade?
About 35.
Well, that's pretty small.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So what's it like being back in Portland?
I haven't been this happy for a while. I love it here. This is, like I said, this is my hometown, will always be my hometown. I recently saw my friend Mike, the one who I spent 2 months at his living at his house. That was great. It's like my second family. Seeing Josh here is like my third family. And I'm visiting my dad, so that's awesome.
So what is the best way to really make friends in a whole new place?
Well, yeah, that's actually sort of hard for me to say, because I've never really had to be really outgoing and go to friends. They've mostly come to me. So, but, yeah, I have made a whole lot of friends, and...
Any particular way to present yourself to the new schools and stuff?
Just be yourself, man. Don't try and impress people, because once you actually be their friend, you're not gonna be like that, because you're gonna feel more secure around them, and then you're gonna see you're not actually the person who they thought you were. So just be yourself. It's the best way to do it.
Okay,
I know you guys hear that all the time, but seriously, it's the best thing to do.
And as my final question, what is the best city?
Portland, Oregon.
Thank you very much, Eli. This has been Josh from Katie.
You are listening to The Underground on the Youth Public Affairs Show at KBOO.
And here's some online safety tips from Cass.
As you know, this month's topic is about relationships or friendships. I'm here to throw out a few pointers of online safety. Pretty much everyone's online these days. For example, MySpace or Face the Jury. And everyone uses AIM, Yahoo, or MSN Instant Messenger. But what a lot of people ignore are the safety precautions of online friends. First and foremost, do not give out too much information. I see people all the time posting their height and weight, eye color, you name it. They pretty much tell all. I barely ever give out my first name, let alone my last. Second of all, don't believe everything you see. People steal pictures and repost them all the time. And trust your instincts. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Third, do not respond to messages that make you feel threatened or uncomfortable. Block them. And report the person that sent them to you. Fourth, stay away from those chat rooms. especially if they're sketchy and provocative. They're most likely sexual predators. And fifth, everyone remembers the buddy system from kindergarten, right? Well, this applies here. If you do, in fact, decide to meet someone you met online, always bring a friend. I believe just telling someone where you are isn't enough. And also, meet in a public place and never at dark. If the person you are meeting does not approve of this, don't meet them at all, because it's obvious they're not concerned about your safety. I sincerely hope that those of you looking for online friendships or relationships consider what I just told you, because you never know what the internet has in store for you. This has been Cass, and you're listening to Underground.
That was a piece by Cassie about having safe friendships on the internet. Sort of segues into a piece that I did. I simply interviewed somebody who is a big fan of MySpace, one of the websites mentioned in her piece. And just to give a tiny bit of background information, that's a website where one can create a profile with pictures and whatever sort of text you want on there that represents you, and other people can search for other people's profiles and sort of network and make friends that way. So, here's my piece. Could you tell me your name, please?
Christian.
Okay, Christian. What do you think of the website MySpace.com?
Oh, it's pretty good. I tend to get on it sometimes.
What do you use it for?
To keep in touch with my friends, mainly. To get new friends, I guess.
What sort of website is it? Could you describe it a little?
I guess it's a place where you can meet your friends, or you can try to meet new ones from other places.
Do you ever play the MySpace games that are on here?
Not really, unless it's not working. Sometimes I'll play Pac-Man for like 5 minutes, but then I usually die because they make it hard. I don't know. You just die every time.
I played the Gold Miner game once or twice. Kind of fun.
Yeah. I like the old version of that the best.
And what else do they have on here? You know, I never even looked at it, but classifieds, or do you ever use the classifieds?
I've never used that. Sometimes I use my favorites to categorize your friends from other friends.
Do you have a couple favorites in there?
Yeah, I have a couple people on here. This kid, I just put him in there so I could copy his hair. And then, let's see, I have a couple bands and then girls. And that's about it.
And there's also a blog. Do you use the blog much?
I don't use the blog, but sometimes I'll post bulletins to tell people what's going on sometimes.
Are you part of any groups?
Yeah, I'm actually in a lot of them, but not by choice. I just kind of added them because they asked me to add them, so I'll show you that in a second here.
Awesome.
Let's see. How do you get to that again? Groups. Hillary. I'm in 147 groups.
What do you think are the highlights of this list?
What are my favorite ones I have?
Yeah.
Let's see. I like the one where it's I Heart Chapstick. That one's pretty cool.
What is that about?
Actually, they're not really any serious ones. They're all kind of dumb. But let's see.
I know. People create these like bunnies are created by their bunny parents.
Oh, Llama Lover. This one looks pretty cool.
And llamas are
cool. Llama Lovers looks pretty awesome.
A new addition to MySpace is the top 8. Could you tell us about your top 8, please?
Well, I didn't put Rosa on there because I don't like her. She's my roommate. But I decided to keep Natasha on there.
Does Rosa know about this?
Yeah, she's very upset and she's in Seattle.
I won't ask.
Stayed away from Oregon.
Okay, well. Who else is in your top 8?
My Arabian friends that has more friends than me because he's Arabian.
Let's see. And this guy How would you pronounce his,
Kalpik?
SMT. He has how many friends?
3,085.
That's quite a few. Have you, left any comments for anybody recently?
I think I left him one telling to bring him Pop-Tarts. Let me see how far on him still.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
I have a toaster.
How long ago was that?
He gets about 60 comments.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, these comments are all from today, are they not?
Is it the 9th? Indeed, it is the 9th.
Amazing. How many comments do you think he has for today?
Probably like 70.
Your URL, let's get this out there, is http://www.myspace.com/murderousx1.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, can we check out your page now? Did you get any awesome comments?
I didn't get any sweet comments yet. That's how many I got today, folks. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, not bad. Bless you. I think I got about 11 or 12 only.
Sweet. I mean, the last one I got was ages ago. Now, for the record, you have
2,687 friends.
So, about how many of your friends are local in Portland or Oregon in general? Maybe Vancouver as well.
Let's see here. Probably like 400 or 500, probably. Not that many. So.
But people from all over the world, just like...
A lot of them are from California, though,
actually.
Yeah. And then some are on the East Coast.
Do you think there are actually any international people from like other countries?
I have some from Australia, so...
You bet. And, like, local bands? Do you have any local bands as your friends?
Local bands? I used to, but you know how bands are these days. They always break up and stuff, so...
Yeah. Do you read the bulletins that you get often or regularly?
I read some of them sometimes when I'm bored, but...
Let's see.
Most of them are just telling you to comment their pictures, so I kind of ignore them, so.
Yeah, a lot of MySpace seems to be about getting new pictures and stuff. And, have you heard of those promotions that they've got going on through MySpace now?
No, I haven't.
Heard about this CD you can buy.
Oh, yeah, the MySpace Volume Records CD.
Do you think that's, sounds pretty cool. Like, are you into the bands that are on that?
I'm not into the bands really at all, but I think they should have came up with a different title than MySpace Records.
Do you think it's even a legitimate record label?
No, not at all, actually. I should find out how much it is.
And would you like that shirt, by the way?
That is a nice shirt, I must say, Ben. I would love to have that.
If only we could have pictures on the radio, but this is a shirt. I'm going to describe it really quick. It has... on the front, your URL for your MySpace page with a blank spot that I assume you could even write on there. And on the back, it says, add me. I think it's amazing. Well, you know what?
I got written back. Who's the message from? Micah. Oh, it's one of my friends from back in the day. Wanted to know what's going on. Just come over to my party tomorrow, Micah.
MySpace is really useful for being in touch with your friends. So, you know what? I'd like to thank you for letting me interview you about MySpace.
No problemo.
Thank you very much, Christian. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
As you know, you're listening to the KBOO Underground, and here are some stuff happening in the Portland area from the youth calendar. The Portland Children's Museum has a new exhibit running through May of 2006 where children can come and be a part of the Sesame Street. Can You Tell Me How to Get to Sesame Street? Features a recreation of the set where you can put on a puppet show, learn to play the steel drums, and more. Portland Children's Museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is $7. Children under one get in free. For more information, call the Portland Children's Museum at 503-223-6500.
Learn about animation at OMSI, where through April of 2006, you can learn about storyboarding, character design, filming, and more. OMSI is located at 1945
Southeast Water Avenue in Portland, Oregon. OMSI is open Tuesday through Sunday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. For information, contact OMSI at 503-797-4000.
Visit Fort Vancouver and get the tour of Lantern Light as you learn about what activities would have occurred in the dark Fort of Vancouver. This event takes place Friday, January 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. and Friday, February 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. Admissions is $3. Fort Vancouver is located downtown Vancouver, Washington. For more information, please call Fort at 360-696-765 extension 10.
The Old Library Studio holds open meetings the first Wednesday of every month at the Steel located at 3924 Northeast Hancock Street in Portland. The Old Library Studio is a great place for youth to create and produce their own music using a full studio. If interested, show up on Wednesday, January 4th at 7 p.m. or call the Old Library Studio at 503-528-2828.
KB will be holding a public meeting on Tuesday, January 3rd at 7 p.m. The nominating committee at KB wants to create a respectful, fair, and balanced process for making appointments in case of board vacancies, and they want your input. The KB radio station is located at 28th Avenue in Portland. For more information, please call the station at 503-231-8032.
Saturday, January 21st, the 4th Annual African American High School Student Leadership Conference, sponsored in the Urban Legend of Portland, will be taking place. The conference will be about investing in our future and will include a keynote speaker, workshop session, panel discussion, and contentional breakfast and lunch. The conference will take place on January 21st at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is open to the high school students. Admission is free. For more information, please call 503-280-2646. And you're listening to KBOO, The Underground.
What made you join Girls Group?
Because I like being with girls and I like being groups.
To get to know more girls from other classes.
I thought that it would be better for me to say what I have to say, like, and talk out my problems with my friends in Girls Group.
Somebody called my mom and said it would be a good place to go.
Knowing people around me are experiencing things that I am.
I wanted to try something new.
Their activities they do.
This year I decided to go because I didn't get to go last year, and the reason why I really wanted to go was because I wanted to hang out with girls.
To meet new girls and to talk about stuff about girls.
What has Girls Group been about?
It's been about girl leaders and how we can become a better leader.
Girls Group has been about solving your problems, knowing how to have to, you know, play more games.
I think it's been about being able to solve problems in a reasonable way.
It's been about experiencing who you are and what you want to be.
Learning about different girls around me.
About girls sharing their feelings.
Girls and their different ways of life.
It's about girls and like how they grow up and how they what they become when they get older.
What surprised you about Girls Group?
That we can talk about our feelings or whenever we get in a fight.
we're expressing our feelings, and Meredith helps us with different problems, and whenever we like play games, we actually get to stop and we get to take care of the problem that's happening.
The changes that the girls have made.
All the cool stuff we do and like how we get to know other people.
What has surprised me was that I can finally say what I say, how I feel about things.
Knowing I can trust people in my group.
I knew a lot of the girls in the group.
That the teachers are so understanding.
Being on KBOO.
What will you use
in your
everyday life from Girls Group?
Honesty and how we express ourselves.
To be strong, smart, and bold, and that's how I will become a better leader.
Oh, I'll use how to be more calm when I talk out my problems.
Kindness and a loyal friend.
Expressing feelings that I now have learned and know.
Most girls don't want to be judged how they look, but how they act on the inside.
The honesty.
I will use the three main ways, which is strong, smart, and bold.
I'll take from Girls Group honesty.
I hear you're having a party. I come every year. Can I come this year?
No, we're not.
I saw you handing out invitations.
Those are basketball tickets.
Can I have one?
We're all out.
Well, okay.
I am so happy for your birthday. I have my sleeping bag ready and everything.
I thought you weren't having a birthday party.
This is how to be a good friend.
Here you go, invitations to Anna's birthday party. Saturday night. Don't be late.
Here you go.
Well,
thank you.
It's on Saturday night, 9 o'clock. We got our sleeping bags and everything. We're so happy for your birthday party.
I am too.
I was in group one. My name is Kayla. I'm 9 years old.
My name is Caitlin Urbino. I was in the first group and I'm age 9.
My name is Carissa and I was in group one and I'm 10 years old.
This is KBOO 41. Listener
powered. So, what are we going to do Saturday night?
I don't know. I was thinking going to Brianna's house.
Yeah, it can be like a sleepover.
Okay, that totally rocks.
Hi, aren't we supposed to go to the movies on Friday?
Oh, yeah.
This is KBOO 41.
Oh, we were going to the movies on Friday.
Oh, yeah, totally forgot.
Listener powered non-corporate community radio.
I changed my mind.
We're proud to be
here with our allies. I'm your boyfriend. You're supposed to. So, what?
Tribal members pay federal income taxes for those who live and make their income on a reservation are exempt from state income taxes. In 2003, a state superior court judge ruled that dark eyes must pay more than $150,000 in back state taxes. The state supreme court has now upheld that ruling, claiming that under federal law, states have the authority to tax tribal members who live off the federally recognized tribal reservation.
My name is Joanne Tomorrow, and I'm 11 years old.
Supported by Rodolphe Incorporated.
All right, that was a piece that was created by some girls,
R-I-D-O-L-F-I.com.
Who are in the and Girls by Amarin Risk Management Group, Corporation, a multi-regional, multi-tribal federal corporation serving Indian Country.
Has local roots dating to 1864 and national status since 1945. Girls Incorporated has responded to the changing needs of girls through research-based programs and public education efforts that empower girls to understand, value, and assert their rights. Since 1998, over 5,000 girls and young men have participated in Girls Initiative Network programming and special events. The interviews that you just heard took place at the James John School in St. John's as part of the media project for Girls Incorporated. First, the girls talked about how the program has affected them, and then they went through two role plays about what it means to be a good friend. The interviewing was done by the girls, and the editing was done by the KBU Youth Collective's token adult, Erin Yankee. For more information about Girls Incorporated of Northwest Oregon, you can call 503-230-0054, or you can email them at info@girlsincorregon.org.
All right, the next piece up is an interview by Ben Tu, edited by Brianna. It's our Youth Talent piece this month. We're focusing on a musical center in Portland called the Old Library Studio. The Old Library Studio is a center in Portland dedicated to providing youth with the means to learn about and create music. The Old Library Studio offers classes for youth about music and music technology, as well as reaching out to the community through school presentations, on-site recordings, and hosting performances. Ben, too, interviewed Noah, the founder of the Old Library Studio, as well as two youth members of the Old Library Studio, Mark and Olivia, about the studio and what takes place there. I hope you enjoy.
My name is Noah Klein. I'm no longer in high school, but I do run a nonprofit music-making studio for teens called the Old Library Studio.
My name is Mark Snyder. I go to Grant High School.
My name is Olivia Miller, and I go to Lincoln High School.
Library Studio has been open since July of 2004, and so we've basically been going full steam since October of that year. Yeah, we provide an after-school and a weekend program where teens come and learn to make music with computers. And we also do some work with the public schools and some youth-oriented organizations in and around Portland. And basically, we're providing music technology instruction. Anyone who's interested in writing music can come here and have a whole virtual orchestra at their fingertips. A person who would be interested in doing recording can come and learn to basically how to produce albums of their own. The after-school program is actually our courses. They happen on weekends primarily, though some of them take place on Friday, and we do have some stuff that happens during the weekday. But that whole program is something that just about any teen, we have some students as young as a precocious 9 all the way up to some 19 and 20-year-olds who are participating in a program that we're doing with Portland Knight High School, for example. Evening public school for teens who would otherwise drop out of high school, and we do a weekly program for them. So we offer this kind of curriculum in a number of different ways. One way you can get into it is by doing the after-school program, where you would come and take classes about once a week, and then most of us the week is coming in and working on in the studio, hands-on, making your own music. Or a student might get involved through their school. We're working on developing some partnerships with a number of local schools, including a middle school and a high school in North Portland.
The studio is like a block from my school, so I remember just seeing it one day, came in, checked it out, talked to Noah for a little bit, and it seemed like something that was pretty cool. Wanted to learn about the studio.
Mark started off in a course called Music and Technology. Actually, that's how we called it, Introduction to Music Technology. But it's since been retooled and changed into what we call Music and Technology. That was a class where he would come in and we basically teach the basics, but a little bit more and give the students a chance to start writing music. But he's taken a whole bunch of other classes ever since.
there's not really a set curriculum. Like, you can, I can, if you want to learn something, Noah will teach it to you.
On a day-to-day basis, it's more a matter of finding out what an individual student or even a group of students' interest is, whatever it is that they are curious about, and teaching you that. We manage to sort of touch all the bases as we're doing that, but I think it's a much better style. Oh, yeah, people can come and volunteer with us. It's not, I would say, at the present time, you have to really have an idea of what you want to do and also be committed to coming in on a schedule. I have a small number of volunteers who actually come in on a weekly basis, and now a year later, some of those volunteers are teaching their own classes. In fact, the Fort Knight High School class is being taught by a volunteer who has a background in electronic music, as well as a PhD in pharmacology. We call him Dr. Laird.
I don't remember. I think my dad brought me a flyer, and I was kind of hesitant to go at first, because I like imagined it being like all these like 30-year-old people. I don't know. I thought like they'd be old people for some reason, but they weren't. I don't know. At first, I began to work on a lot of the computerized music because I have played the piano, and so I thought it was really neat to have all these like automatic instruments like right there that I could use. But after I took the recording class, I started to get more into recording real instruments because it's a lot more fun and it sounds better. I mean, it just depends what you like or what kind of music you want to make.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't recorded other people at the program but myself, and I've brought in friends.
Yeah, she had some friends
2 days ago.
Yesterday,
yeah.
That was actually a pretty tremendous use of the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good, but, you know. And then, you know, with the editing program, you can basically make it sound whatever you want, even if you can't play the instrument, which is really helpful.
We've got a website, oldlibrarystudio.org, which you can visit, and there's information about volunteering. You can fill out a form, which goes right to me. It's really just information and contact info and that kind of thing. For people who want to support the program or want to be available in the event that we need a bunch of help, occasionally we do need that kind of help. On the surface, you could see the Old Library Studio as being a tremendous toy box filled with really fascinating artifacts. Now, when you got there, you might think, oh, it doesn't glow quite like the thing I imagined. But you would go in and you'd say, well, okay, that looks like a microphone. You go and use it and you say, oh, well, darn, I sound good when I sing into that microphone. We get, you know, we receive generous gifts of especially microphones, but some other equipment as well, from some manufacturers in this area and in some surrounding regions. Audix microphones, which is just down in, I guess it's Wilsonville. They have their manufacturer, you know, whole setup down there. Donated some tremendous microphones from there. And there's a guy in Washington with a company called ADK that makes just some gorgeous sounding microphones for not what you would think they would cost.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We're talking, you know, $350 to $500, and they sound like something. The kids are, they know that this is nice stuff. They know not to bring Cheetos in and rub the Cheeto powder on the stuff. You know, they're good kids. Yeah, so in addition to having lots of fun toys, which we already covered, the students come in and they just make great music, and it sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Someone once said, it's not cheesy, which I think is a pretty good way of putting it. You might think if there's a program for teens or for youth, that instantly that's going to be sort of a finger-painting exercise of some sort, you know, with like, yeah, I'm sure that you made a cat there, Billy, but only because you labeled it in those big letters. This is not the... it's not what comes out of the Old Library Studio. At least the students. These are students who are... at an age where they are just got one foot in adulthood. They look a little young, but they've got the same sort of musical instincts that you would expect from, you know, famous music.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, what comes across is vibrant and really just terrific.
I like all music, but what I mainly listen to see here. I guess I'd say a little bit of the underground hip-hop. I like classic rock and also like reggae. Excellent. Yeah, yeah, we call ourselves the Deaf Minds.
The Deaf Minds.
Yeah.
They came in, he brought them in last week. He's like, he calls me up just after school, I guess, gets at around the time.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, Noah, I was thinking about coming to the studio. Hey, can I bring some friends? And I thought, like, yeah, a couple of friends again, like, before. And it's like, he comes in with, like, seven guys. But it's great, because they come in, he's sitting at the desk, control desk, and, like, his friends just whip out these notebooks, and they just start writing.
Huh.
And they're just sitting there writing lyrics and raps there and recording them and that kind of thing. And Olivia, you've got a group with how many people in it?
Like eight.
Eight? All girls?
No.
No, not any girls?
A couple guys.
Okay. Well, not that it's important. But
right,
it'd
but
be,
yeah.
but does that group have a name?
No. It's hard. Think of a name.
Very cool.
Do they play instruments in that group?
Yeah, everybody plays instruments.
What are the instruments in that group?
We play drums. Actually, it's pretty cool because we all switch. So we have, like, a keyboard and bass, guitar, drums, and, like, random percussion. Random percussion.
The old Library Studio and Northwest Digital Art Kits are overarching corporation. We're recently recognized for artistic achievement by the Oregon Arts Commission, funded in part by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal program. So far we've not published any CDs. Publishing this essentially says that we're making many, many, many copies and packaging them. And I do hope to do that in the future. It just hasn't really happened yet.
Yeah. Just in the sense of sending it out to get it out there.
Well, we haven't really done any sort of radio station blanketing the way one would if you actually had a commercial CD yet.
Yeah.
But so far, most of the CDs that have gone out have been accompanying grants.
Yeah.
We write, because as much as we can write about, what this is and what we're doing, there's still this sort of nagging suspicion in the back of people's minds that it's something that it's not. It's oversimple or something like that. And so whenever they don't explicitly forbid us from sending them the CD, I will send them one so they, on the chance that they'll take a listen. How does someone become a student of you, Noah?
Yes.
How do I become a disciple of Noah Kleinman? And furthermore, what if I'm an adult? What if I've aged out of the teen bracket?
Yeah.
Goodness. Well, I'll tell you, you're not the first person to ask. We have some classes starting during the winter break. And if you wanted to get enrollment info, you can go to www.oldlibrarystudio.org, or you can give me a call at the studio, 503-528-2828. Good luck reaching me, though, because sometimes I'm in a soundproof room that is not where the phone is, wearing headphones in addition to that. Leave a message.
Answering machine.
Leave a message. And for adults who are interested in learning about music technology or just want to get together and listen to share music on a pair of really excellent B&W mastering speakers that were given to donated to the studio recently, they can come out to our Wednesday events. The first Wednesday night of every month at 7 p.m. at the Old Library Studio, which is near the corner of Northeast 40th and Northeast Hancock in the Old Hollywood Library building. We do an event for adults. It's $5 at the door, or you can come for free as a benefit of membership, since we are a tax-exempt nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
Public charity!
Yeah.
Yay.
That was Noah, Mark, and Olivia from the Old Library Studio. All the music that you heard during this piece was also thanks to the Old Library Studio. With the KBOO Youth Collective, this is Brianna, signing off.
That we enjoy watching to the very end.
more information about the Old Library Studio, check out their website, oldlibrarystudio.org, or call the studio at 503-528-2828. The website's Old Library Studio without any spaces or anything. And we're going to ease you on up to the end of the hour here with a song produced at the Old Library Studio.
We'd like to thank everybody
for listening
to the KVU Underground. And next up is DJ Audio.
Yay.